Good morning and welcome to I thought I had it already ready. Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Mo H and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, October the 10th, and it is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the big book and we are on page 33, the third paragraph at the bottom. To be gravely affected, ending with, but try to get them to see it, from one paragraph only, and we'll also be reading the asterisk at the bottom of the page. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Mary P., the 12 Traditions, Monica K., and the readers of the text are Reggie O., Justin B., and Mary B. The share ID for Sunday, October 9th, is 19,497, that's 194997. And for this morning's meeting, Monday, October 10th, the 7 a.m. Eastern meeting is 19,498, that is 19498. And our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and our announcements person is Betsy H. So if you're a newcomer, please stay on till the end of the meeting so Lorraine can greet you. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Mary. Hey.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I will pass.
Well, thank you, Mary P. And I will now ask Monica K. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Monica K. from California. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups as or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought to never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Let the problem of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought to never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issue. Hence, the OA name ought to never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all this tradition, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 33, the third paragraph down, to be gravely affected, and it ends with, but try to see it, one paragraph only, and then we'll also be including the asterisk at the end of that paragraph and reading the bottom of the page. And let me see. And I will now ask Reggie O. to get us started. Good morning, Reggie.
Good morning, Mo, and thanks so much for your service. My name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered in Texas. And this paragraph, to be gravely affected, one does not necessarily have to drink a long time, nor take the quantity some of us have. This is particularly true of women. Potential female alcoholics often turn into the real thing and are gone beyond recall in a few years. Certain drinkers, who would be greatly insulted if called alcoholics, are astonished at their inability to stop. We who are familiar with the symptoms see large numbers of potential alcoholics among young people everywhere, but try and get them to see it. And then the asterisk, reading at the bottom of the page. True, when this book was first published, but a 2014 U.S.-Canada membership survey showed almost about 12% of AAs were 30 and under. Well, this is really an interesting paragraph, you know, and it makes me first think about, well, what is the disease of compulsive overeating? It's having an allergy to certain foods that once we stop, we can't start. And then it's having this mental compulsion or mental twist that we go back to it. And time and time again, even though we have lots of experience, that it's going to be the same thing over and over again. Looking back at my life, I mean, I think I had the allergy to sugar and flour probably. I think I was probably born with it, you know. Although Mom told me when I was about 4 or 5, she said I didn't really start eating much until I had gone into the hospital and had my tonsils removed. But I remember I used to get bronchitis a lot in the winter, and I'd go to the Army Hospital, get these, you know, medications, 2 cough syrups. One was called GI Gin, and one was called something brown. I forget what it was. The GI Gin was, I think, about 50% alcohol, and the other one was filled with sugar. I loved both of them. I used to, guzzle my liquid vitamins in the refrigerator before, you know, I was 6 years old. And then I come from a family who just fed and ate, you know, especially on my mother's side of the family, and loved for the children to be plump. You know, my grandmother would come up and tap me under the chin, and she would say, "Oh, look at that! That's so beautiful." And I would say, "Oh my gosh, I need to go on a diet," because I knew what that meant. It meant that I had a double chin. And you know, I don't know. First of all, I didn't have any inclination that there was a problem, nor did I have any desire to stop, because that's just what I did and that's just what we did. I was, you know, heavier than a lot of early kids, but I never really saw it. I was very active. I was very engaged in things. And so it didn't really get the best of me, you know, weight-wise. I could have weighed a lot higher than I was my top weight, which was just over 200 pounds. But I was an athlete, you know, 4 seasons. I was always moving, but I did not notice the eating, you know, and I had no sensibility about it. And I remember once I thought, wow, I thought my high school friend was lovely and I would just eat like she did. So I ate what she did and what I did too. Well, that didn't work. And I think socially, I started eating more on social occasions when I would get out. But you know, it led me to the emotional and the, you know, the spiritual problems with the disease, which were really the challenging ones. You know, where I would eat and not leave my house, and but I there was nowhere to go. I mean, I just go to the next diet or the next book. Until I learned about OA, which I didn't learn about until 1985. And here I am today being able to say I'm gratefully recovered and glad I found it. And hopefully, you know, we'll all carry the message to those who don't know yet about us. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Reggie, for getting us started. And we'll now open the lines for people who would like to share. Let me remind you that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday on any meeting, please pass for today and let others share. Who would like to share on this paragraph? Press star 1 to unmute.
Lauren Grace.
Lauren Grace, did you say?
Mm-hmm. B from New Jersey.
Okay. Who was after her?
Deborah G.
Okay, I've got you too. Anybody else? Don't be shy. Over the world.
Nancy C.
Okay. A few more.
Carrie C.
Was that Terry or Carrie?
Carrie with a K.
Okay, got it. Okay. Thanks, you, Carrie. All right, we'll go with that lineup. Everybody else, you know, think about it, maybe next round. We got Lauren Grace B, Deborah G, Nancy C, and Carrie C. And when you come on the line, please tell us what state you are from. Good morning, Lauren Grace B.
Hi, everyone. This is Lauren Grace B., and I'm from New Jersey. And I'm really grateful for this paragraph. This is my story. I came into OA relatively young. I think I was 28 years old. And I came in at not a high-end weight for me, but not a high-end weight for me medically. I might have been slightly overweight, but I was crazy with food. Fortunately, I hadn't had to go through surgeries or injections or some of the things other people tried. I did pay away, and that, you know, things always worked for a while. And I came in because I had the same 15 pounds I would lose and gain so many times. And finally, it came time to lose that 15 pounds, and I could not stop eating, and I was gaining weight, and I was terrified. And people would look at me and say, oh, you're not people in the program, but other people would say, oh, you don't have a problem. It's not a big deal. But I knew myself, and I knew my addictive personality, and I knew that I could not stop eating. And even now, I'm probably down 25 pounds from my top weight, and that's all I ever had to lose. But I still qualify. I have the craziness. I have the alcoholic foods. I have the alcoholic behaviors, or I did in the past. So I just want to encourage other people who are wondering, do I really belong here? I'm not throwing up. I've done hardly any kinds of things that other people mention, or, you know, I'm not that overweight. That doesn't mean you're a compulsive overeater. Anyone who cannot stop eating, or once they stop, can't stop, qualifies. And that's all I'd like to share. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lauren Grace, for getting us going. And Deborah G., followed by Nancy C. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo. And thank you so much for your service, and everyone for their service making this meeting possible, and all the shares so far, 12-step in me. Yes, yes, yes. I'm saying I can relate. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and I can remember, you know, I didn't see any of this until I got into recovery, because I was just in unconscious state and was just going through it. Even at a really young age, you know, I learned that food was comfort for me. I think about it now. Food was comfort for me for whatever was going on in my life growing up. And so I could eat and eat and eat. And what I was doing was I was working it off, riding my bike. I was very, very hyperactive, and bike riding, swimming in the backyard, all that. And you wouldn't even tell, you know what I mean? Back then, everyone said, oh my God, how can you eat so much? You know, high metabolism was the solution, was the answer, they would say. Oh, she just has a high metabolism. And in that took off, you know, further into my life, that because I was also a restrictor. So if I felt like there was any fat on me, because I was still compulsively eating, and thank you for that word about even though I wasn't overweight, you know, that doesn't mean I'm not a compulsive overeater, because that's my story. You know, because if I got to, I thought my distorted or whatever it was, a little bit of fat, I learned I could restrict and get rid of it. You know, that was that disease thinking. I think about it now, it's so distorted, so delusional, and never saw reality. It was like I was going through whatever my head was telling me, I was going with it. And whatever I was needing to, those emotions, ease and comfort, I was feeding. You know, it was just a vicious, vicious cycle that I did not see and was caught up for so many, so many years. You know, it took me so many years, even when I was in different OA programs, I still was playing around. I still was not honest. I couldn't get honest. But when I finally got honest and woke up and saw reality and did the work, got a sponsor, went through the steps, and living the steps and helping others by taking them through the steps and helping them any way that I can, did I finally see the truth. And I'm so grateful for that. And I was in visions when this all happened. So I'm always going to be grateful for visions and all of you fellows that have helped me to see what I need to see. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Deborah G. Next up is Nancy C., followed by Carrie C., and then I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Mo H. Thank you for doing the meeting. Good morning, all my fellow travelers. This is Nancy C., gratefully recovered this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The words that kind of stood out for me today are gravely affected, insulted, and astonished, because that really sums up my whole disease of compulsive overeating. You know, this paragraph kind of tells me that it doesn't matter where we all are on our journey and how we got here. You know, some people are allergic to certain things, some people aren't. Some people have certain ways of thinking of things, some people don't. Some people are fat, some people are thin, some people hug a bowl, some people hug a Dunkin' Donuts counter. But we all have the disease of compulsive overeating where we are physically allergic to some eating, some specific ingredient, or some behavior. And we have that mental twist telling us we don't have the disease. We have that forgetter telling us next time I'll be different, next time I'll do things different. And you know, I was insulted when people would tell me I was fat. Deep down inside, I'd be crushed saying, I've got to do something about it, but then turn around and eat at those people because they weren't going to get me down and keep a tough outer skin and let them call me whatever they wanted to call me. I didn't care, but I did, but I didn't let anybody see that. And I was astonished when I really started to try and control my eating and couldn't. You know, when I was younger growing up, I could go on diets and drop 15 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds, always gaining back 16, 18, 22, more than I had lost. But I always thought I had that illusion of control, right? I was large and in charge, and I was in control of nothing. So I was astonished this last time around when I couldn't stop binging, no matter how much I prayed to my Santa Claus God or the God of my understanding, then that wouldn't give me that relief because I was asking completely wrong. But then flip side of that is I am astonished today with the level of recovery I hear in this room and the level of recovery my God has graced me with today by just picking up the simple tools in this book and following them and following all of you, regardless of whether you're fat, thin, been here a long time, just got here. We all have the same common problem and we all have found the same common solution. And I'm so grateful for each one of you trudging with me today. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
And thank you, Nancy C. And up next, we'll have Carrie C. And then I'll take another lineup of people who would like to share. Good morning, Carrie C. And please tell us where you're from, calling from.
Hi, my name is Carrie C. I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area, California. And I'm really grateful to be here this morning. I can so relate to everything that's been shared. I was the kid at the birthday party that was thinking about the cake. Like, that was the highlight of the party. And, you know, I wasn't thinking about, you know, the games or the celebration or any, you know, it was the cake. And I was hoping to God that, you know, I would get the biggest piece and I would just be crestfallen, you know, if I felt like I did not get the piece that was, that was most, I felt I was entitled to. So I feel like at a very early age, I had this disease. And I know today that, I didn't cause this and I can't cure it, but I do have a solution. I've learned that, you know, food was not my problem. My weight was not my problem. Food was the answer to my problem. And today I'm just so grateful that I have the tools to keep me from the emotional buildup, which will inevitably, if I let, you know, all that gunk build up, you know, my brain will, but my brain will tell me that the answer is the food. And with the help of this fellowship, I'm able to do my step 10s and, you know, stay spiritually fit or continue to work on my spiritual fitness. And I know that if I don't do the things that I need to do, eventually I will go back to the food. But by the grace of God, I don't have to do that in, you know, today. And with that, I'm out. Thank you. Pat.
And thank you, Carrie C. from California. Let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 33 at the bottom of the page, the third paragraph, to be gravely affected. And it ends with, but try to get them to see it. And we also read the asterisk at the bottom of that page. So who would like to share in the second round?
Babylonia A.
Wendy B. from Chris. California.
Diane N. from Georgia.
Crystal Wendy. S. California.
Wait a minute. Who was after Babylonia? We had Wendy and then there was somebody?
Diane N.
Diane N. Okay, thank you.
Crystal S., California.
Crystal, okay, I got you.
Michelle F.
Michelle F. Okay, so I have Babylonia A. I have Wendy, I didn't get your last initial. Diane N., Crystal, and Michelle F. Okay, we'll go with that lineup. We'll start with Babylonia. Good morning, Babylonia.
Good morning, fellows. Good morning, moderator. Thank you, everyone, for your service and for your shares. I just wanted to speak to the newcomer. I wanted to say that no matter what your problem with food, whether you're anorexic or bulimic or you binge eat or you exercise yourself to death, you are in the right place. And we're so glad you're here. We all love you in a very special way. And once you start working these 12 steps, you will see miracles in your life. And your worst days in program will be better than your best days when you're in the food. And I just want to encourage you just to keep coming back and don't give up. And happiness, freedom, and serenity will come to you. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Babylonia A. Wendy, give me your last initial and the state you're calling from.
Hi, Mo. It's Wendy B. from California.
Okay. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you, Mo. Wendy B. from California, and I just would have given anything to have been more aware at a younger age. I had this disease developing in adolescence, and I did not have the weight gain to prove that I had it. And I had friends that were heavier than me, and I could put all of them under the table with the amounts of food that I ate. And this disease was so isolated for me. I would go to downstairs in the kitchen and just sneak bowls and bowls of cereal, anything I could get my hands on that was starchy or carbohydrate or sugary, and sneak it upstairs. And that's how I put myself to sleep every night. And I never would have thought that I would have ended up in OA. And I did go to OA in my 20s, and I still looked around the rooms and thought, this will go away. And here I am now in my 50s, and it never went away. It just progressed. I would have given anything to know or have been aware that I was going to be in this program. And I made a full circle and had to come back to it because it just progressed and got worse and worse and worse. And this disease doesn't want me alone. It wants me in the morning sitting here with you guys in recovery. My disease wants me alone eating in a room by myself. That's how it started and that's how it ended. And it will never, ever change by itself. ever. So I need you guys. I appreciate all of you who are doing service and everyone who shared. Thank you.
And thank you, Wendy B. Diane N., followed by Crystal. Good morning, Diane N.
Good morning. I'm Diane. I'm a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater. Thank you guys for your service, moderator, and the team. I'm so grateful for this reading today. There were so many things that resonated with me. One main thing was about the young people. And I was just reminded of how, you know, how we, everybody, we're in recovery, how the importance of sharing and of you know, just letting, giving the hope. I know when I came in, I thought my life was helpless, and I was helpless and hopeless. But today in recovery, there's hope. And I think young people need to hear that. I know, and that's what, when that the book was alluding to the young people, I was thinking about how I came in the rooms in my 20s. I've been in the room for over, I think it'll be 42 years in January 2023. I've been in recovery. I'm a chronic relapser, needless to say, but I have been in recovery for almost 3 years, since January 2020. So I am so grateful. And so I, and sometimes I would be embarrassed about having to say, I've been in the room for almost 40, over 30 years or whatever the number of years. And then I would have to say I'm in relapse or whatever was going on with me. But today I know this journey that I've had was a needed one. And I'm so grateful that I'm not in relapse today. And that's the message that we want to send, you know, to everybody, to the newcomers, to the young people, that you don't have to walk that path. And that's what the passage is alluding to. You don't have to. The answers are here. The roadmap was here, even though I didn't see it. I was so busy trying to do things my way, trying to find an easier, softer way. I still remember some years back my doctor telling me, you know, ma'am, you know, you need to lose 10 pounds and you won't be obese. You're obese and you need to lose 10 pounds so I wouldn't be obese. Of course, I didn't lose the 10. I gained 10 every time I'd go. So finally, you know, I guess she just got tired of telling me, asking me, suggesting I lose the weight. However, during this pandemic in January 2020, it's as if I received the gift of desperation. And I didn't even realize it. It was like I had a spiritual awakening and just by doing, working the steps, not isolating, on the calls, and like I said, working the steps. And I received this gift so that today, and the weight just came off. The weight just came off. The food, and I don't have to fight the food today. And when I say it's a miracle, so, and if this miracle can happen for Diane N. from Georgia, we know it can happen to young people. They don't have to go through all the years that I had to go through, you know, in relapse, and or the new people, or any, you know, for any of us, because it's the same age. That's my higher power. Anyway, thank you guys for letting me share, and I'm so glad you guys are on the line today, trust-stepping me, because I really need a meeting, and I try to stay in as many as I can and live in steps 10, 11, and 12 by God's grace. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Diane, and for your share. And next up is Crystal F., followed by Michelle F., and we'll have time for some more shares after Michelle. Good morning, Crystal.
Hi, good morning. This is Crystal F., like in Sam, from California, Northern California. And thank you, Mo, for facilitating this morning. I am a compulsive overeater, restrictor, overexerciser. I always forget to say that. I love this reading so much, and I just want to share that I had to go to a funeral for someone very young who OD'd in my family, and it was a really hard emotional weekend, and I find it, I'm awestruck about this program, because I hadn't seen family since I got into program, some of my family, and they're like, oh my God. And it's not about the weight. It's so not about that. My sponsor makes it so clear about what this program is about. And, you know, I went there just to be of service, and I was. And even though everything went really well, as far as like staying in on my own plate and staying on my side of the street and being of service. I had to stop to get gas as I was coming home, and the the subtleties of my disease. I didn't realize this till I got back on the road, but as I went to go get gas, I was looking for one of those places that had my alcoholic foods in it. I mean, yeah, I got gas, but I was looking, and I immediately just prayed to God, like, oh my gosh, here I am again. Like, I didn't do anything, but I love that this program wakes me up and says, what is your motive? My motive to be in that store was only to pay for the gas and get out, but I was looking. And I have to say, I'm kind of glad that other people have shared about their relapses and the subtleties and how sneaky it is, because I just don't want to go back to that old way of life and be a hostage anymore. And so the freedom is just telling all of you, I didn't do it, but I thought about it. And I came home and I ate my abstinent food, and I don't know, but for the grace of God, I didn't engage in old behavior. And I don't know, I'm just awestruck that every morning all they have to do is make a choice to get up and get on this call, work with my sponsor, work with new people, and the magic happens. So thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Crystal S. Up next is Michelle F., and after Michelle, we'll have a chance for a few more shares. We're on page 33, the third paragraph, to be gravely affected. It ends with, but try to get them to see it. Okay, good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Mo, and thank you for your service. Wonderful shares, everybody. If you are under age 30, welcome. Please keep coming back. We don't have as strong a young people program as maybe AA does, but we're getting there, and it's needed. I personally knew that there was something wrong with me. I mean, I thought that in general, but when it came to food, I knew. I knew I wasn't eating normally, but I didn't want to see it. And of course, I just, the way I lived it is I just didn't look at the scale, and whatever size clothes I was in was fine. And I didn't like my picture taken, and I ate whatever I wanted. But I was still isolated. I was still lonely, and my mood swings were terrible. And I wasn't dealing with the rest of my stuff, you know. And then I got to the point, I mean, it wasn't really even working, but it got bad that enough that I was like, okay, now I can't even not do it. And it just wasn't working anymore. If it did at all. And I knew I had a problem. I knew I was addicted. And I've heard the opposite of addiction is connection. And the first point of connecting is to come to these meetings and join them and participate and say, yes, I too have this thing. I wake up every morning with this disease. I don't want to connect. I want to stay isolated. I want to stay away from everybody and be safe. But I know I'm also very lonely, and it's not good for me. And since I put down the food, life hasn't gotten 100% better or anything. But I have had purpose. I've been useful. I've had esteemable moments where I did esteemable acts. I helped people. I sponsor now. It's the joy of my life. It's so wonderful to be able to do something and have it mean something positive, and you feel like you did well, because I didn't have that growing up a lot. And that is a big difference. So when I, you know, I wake up every morning and I don't want to get out of bed and I don't want to do life. So I just talk to my higher powers and I admit that. And then I ask for help to get up and I do. And then I think about those moments when I've done something really great by helping somebody else and how good that felt. Right. And that gets me, thank you. And that gets me going into my day. So keep coming back and do work the steps. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since last Wednesday, yeah, press star one, and I can take two, maybe three, depending on the time, more shares.
Sherry M.
Sherry M.
Yep, thanks, Mo.
Nancy.
Nancy, what's your last initial, Nancy?
C.
C, okay, maybe one more. Oh. Okay, let's go with those two then. Sherry M.
Liz.
And Nancy C. Oh,
Liz.
Who was that? Okay, we'll try Liz and see if we have time. Okay, Sherry.
Okay, can you hear me? Yeah? Okay.
I can.
Hi.
I can.
Hey, Mo. Hi, everyone. This is Sherry. I'm gratefully recovered today by God's grace and mercy living in Wyoming. Oh, what a great paragraph. What a great meeting. And what's really coming to mind for me is self-knowledge availed me nothing. So knowing what I knew when I was 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, knowing that I was different from my fellows, even being in program, and having a head full of knowledge of how the steps work, what the solution is, you know, it's through the steps, and we go to meetings, and we do 90 and 90, and we do the tools, and we do all these things, and knowing, and then admittedly, yeah, I have got a problem with food, I cannot stop, but here was my mental twist, and my unmanageability, and my insanity, knowing that I have a problem, that it is killing me, I reach out to someone who has the solution, and then I begin to tell them everything that I've done, right? And so my pride and ego stands in the way of me getting my very solution, because I can now build a case of how long I've been in OA, all the programs I'm in, all the steps I've done, and everything else. And thank God for my fifth Vision for You sponsor in 2019, November 3rd, coming up on 3 years, makes me cry to think of it. When she said to me, and God bless her, Sherry, has anything you've done ever gotten you recovered? No, but yet I have a disease that told me that I could still manage it somehow. I can still offer up a great idea for my problem. I know what I need to eat. I know what I need to do. No, I know how to kill myself is the bottom line. And so from that moment on, hands in the air, I surrendered from my heart, my head to my heart. But yet, guess what? That's still not going to keep me free today unless I work steps 1 to 12 every single day. Every day I wake up an addict, and every day I wake up with a beautiful solution that includes a higher power who knows exactly what I need in this lifetime in order to not kill myself with food one day at a time. I can live in a state of complete freedom and neutrality, continuing to get rid of self through the steps. Thank you so much for letting me share, and welcome to anybody who's new, and it just takes what it takes when it takes what it takes. Could be years, could be days, we don't know. God's
fine.
In charge. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you, Sherry M. Next up, Nancy C., and if we have time, we'll do Liz A. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. I'm Nancy C. I am a compulsive overeater in Southern California, and I've been listening to Vision for a long time, and it's been a long time since I've shared. And I need to share. I really need connection. I have not been, I've not been abstinent in a long time. And I knew in my 20s that I had a problem with food. I'm now 64. I've been in OA for about 10 years. and I have experienced neutrality with food, but I'm certainly not there now. And I've never stopped believing that, you know, this is the solution. In the last 10 years, I have not pursued any other avenues. But I'm here. I'm grateful that I'm here. And I'm grateful for the shares that I hear because it gives me hope. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nancy C. Okay, Liz A., we do have time for you. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. This is Liz A. from Goodrich, Michigan. And I'm just grateful to be here on the line. I desperately needed this morning. What really struck me in that reading was to be gravely affected. And for me, this food addiction, compulsion, my recovery from bulimia, oh my goodness, I went to any lengths pretty much to maintain a normal weight. So I looked normal, but I was dying and killing myself and not caring. And I had to just keep coming back. I came in when I was 27. I'm in my 60s. And the miracle is that I have never left. And for me, because the mental, emotional illness, I have what I've heard called dual diagnosis. I suffer from depression. And if I pick up, it doesn't just affect the food addiction. It affects my thinking. It affects my moods. It affects how I relate to people. And I go back to those old personality defects and ways of coping. And I'm grateful that one day at a time I don't pick up. It's actually just a miracle, you know, that I've kept coming back no matter what. So I just encourage people to just keep coming back no matter what. Thank you.
And thank you. And that's perfect timing. I want to thank all those who shared, all those who gave service on this meeting, Team Monday. And we'll go with now, we will close the reading. We will close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Justin B. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Justin B. from the state of Washington and also in the state of recovery. This is page 164, A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.